and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying in the book of Ephesians, and we've been looking at chapter 5. But if you'll recall, last time I felt led of the Lord to go back to chapter 1 and cover something that we had looked at briefly. And that is chapter 1 and verse 10 of the book of Ephesians. Now, that verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I discussed how that a dispensation is a period of time. And in other words, it's an arrangement of time where we take care of God's economy. And there's coming a time of the fullness of times, and when the fullness of times is completed. In other words, all dispensations will have taken place according to God's plan. And he has arranged this, or he's judged this necessary, when everything is completed in the time appointed. Well, as we continue on and study about this, we see in Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6, and it says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Well, this would be the end of dispensations. This would be the end of the time when a man would be in charge of what we know as this earth. In Revelation 21:1, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven, a new earth. This is John the Apostle speaking. I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You see, during this period that we look at in Revelation 21:1, we're seeing that there's going to be things changed, and there's no more sea. And certain things have passed away. We see there is no more need for those things that existed before, because the dispensation is complete, the fullness of times. Now, why was this done? Why is this going to happen? Well, the verse goes on to say that he might gather together in one. Well, what will happen when the dispensation of the fullness of times takes place? I believe that the meaning here is literally to sum up. In other words, as a speaker does at the close of his speech. It has come to a head, in other words. And this would be the sum, the chief thing, the main point. The reference is to the unity. Notice it says he might gather together in one. Bring together unity. And this is going to be hereafter, and it's going to exist in the kingdom of God, when all his friends on earth and in heaven shall be united, and all shall have a common head. We don't see that too much today in this world, where people gather together and get together, and they agree on things. Sad to say, this does not even happen in many churches, where people are at odds together, against each other in many, many instances. Well, why is that? It's because they're human beings. We are human. But there's coming a time when everything's going to be brought together and there will be unity. Right now, there is a separation. The earth, that's the people, have been separated from God by rebellion. And many have gone off into apostasy and sin. Well, the world, and that's people, refuse to acknowledge the great I Am, to which everything is subject. And the end result is to restore, and this is the end result of the fullness of time, the end result is to restore unity to its proper place as it was supposed to be from the beginning. This is what God wanted when he placed Adam in the garden. Now notice that he might gather together in one all things, according to Ephesians 1:10. You see, it's remarkable here that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says he is not speaking only of people, all persons, in other words, angels or of men, but of all things. Notice there it says he might gather together in one all things. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, and I pray that you do, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Romans 8, verses 18 through 25. Paul the Apostle writing says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself," and we might say here that they're speaking of the creation, they're speaking of everything, "because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." When Jesus Christ came and we, people, have an opportunity to receive him as Savior, but one day everything is going to be complete and everything is going to be there in unity. And even the nature itself is going to be united. Everything is going to be right. Verse 23 of Romans 8 goes on to say, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I'm with patience waiting for the coming of my Savior. I'm waiting for him to come back and say, "Come up hither." Well, it's going to be that, or either I'll close my eyes in death, the breath of life is going to leave me. And you say, "Well, you sound happy about that." Well, either way, I'm going to be with my Lord. And it really makes no difference how I go. I would prefer that he would come back and say, "Come up hither in the rapture of the church and take me up." But I would prefer that. But if it comes to the point that I close my eyes in death, then I'll be with my Savior. Well, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the creation groaning, and not only the creation, it says in verse 23, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." And I would say, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we're waiting for you. And we want to see you, Lord. We want to see the one who gave his life for us and the one who's living now for us." Now, I'd like for you to notice, if you would, and go back to verse 22 of Romans chapter 8, where it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Now, we live right now in a time when certain individuals tell us that our world, that's the earth, is being destroyed by so-called global warming. Have you heard that? Well, the global warming these people speak of is supposedly caused by man. Well, it is true, the whole world groans in travail, as we've already read in Romans 8. And it is true, man has thrown the earth and mankind into ruin. And once again, Romans 5:12 tells us about this, where it says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Man has gotten us into this. No, Adam, he sinned. And that's the one man that Romans 5:12 is speaking of here. One man threw us into sin. And now, let me quickly add, don't blame Adam for your sin, because that's personal. Your sin is a personal sin. You can't blame that onto Adam. You choose to sin. And Adam's not here to make you sin, but you choose to sin, and you need to go to God in prayer and say, "God, forgive me for this sin." Now, as a saved person, you need to do that. If you're not living for him, "God, forgive me of this sin. I want to be used of you, Lord. I want to please you. And if you're not saved, you need to say, Lord, forgive me of sin. Forgive me and save my soul. I want to see you one day, Lord. I want to be in heaven. And most of all, I want to serve you. Pray a prayer and ask God to save you. Well, sin came into the world by one man. He plunged everybody into sin. And once again, the world is groaning because of that. You see, one day the earth will be destroyed by heat, but not by man's hand. Man has always, since the fall of man, tried to take on the role of God. Today, it is still true that people think they can do what God says they will not do. And this ignorant group of global alarmists who say man will destroy the world are those who are ungodly, who believe they are greater than God, the one who created what these godless people say just happened by accident. Many of these people will be doomed to spend eternity in the lake of fire created by God for the devil and his angels. In short, man will never do what God says he will do. Man will not destroy this planet. So, this earth will be changed by fervent heat, by God the Creator. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God, not man, will cleanse this old world of sin, finally, when the fullness of times is completed. Revelation 21:1 says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Remember, Romans 8:22 says, Until now. In other words, until Jesus came, there was no hope of all creation, including the redemption of man taking place. Now, because Jesus did come, there will be a reconciliation of everything. Everything will be reconciled to God in the fullness of time. Well, how could the fullness of time be? 1 Peter 1:18 through 22 says, For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. When everything is complete, all things are placed under Christ. And God, his design is to restore harmony to everything. And I pray today that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray that one day you're going to see me in heaven. I will be there, and I pray that I'll see you. And I pray that you will have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before you leave this earth, before the breath of life leaves you. And for you as a saved person, may you live close to the Lord. May you know him fully, more fully. May you be closer to him today than you ever were. May you ask him to lead and guide you and help you to be the person that he would have you to be. Fervent for the Lord, telling other individuals about Jesus Christ, living for him, trusting him to take you through this life, and you'll be able to hold your head up high because you are saved and you're on your way to heaven. May God bless you. Next time we'll get back to Ephesians chapter 5 and we'll look at verse 10, the Lord's will. Lift me up, and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.